The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet him to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Good morning, everybody. Tom Leach is out today. He is doing the Kentucky Football Signing Day Special on UKAthletics.com. I am Curtis Birch sitting in today. For the show, we got a loaded show as usual. Chris Fisher from 247 Sports and the Catsballs will join the show to talk some recruiting. And then we'll be joined by the one and only Oscar Combs, founder of the Catsballs, and now the host of the podcast, Conversations with Oscar Combs. You can find him on Twitter. It's where he does a lot of tweeting, at Wildcat News. Want to get to you the Wildcat News of the day, presented by Cardinal Point Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Service. Big headline that came out after the show wrapped up yesterday is Jordan Jones will not be playing in the bowl game. He was ruled ineligible. Kentucky said that they will rotate in some of the younger guys, the freshmen. Chris Oates and DeAndre Square both played a lot of snaps this season for Kentucky. Yesterday we got a chance to talk to Matt House, and he said that he has complete faith in those guys, both Oates and Square. Square was actually an all-freshman selection, so they'll be able to rotate in. Josh Allen also spoke to the media yesterday and said that he has confidence in those two young guys as well. So no Jordan Jones in the bowl game, and that'll end his career at Kentucky. It was a pretty good one. He amassed a lot of tackles, and despite this hiccup at the end of it, he had a pretty successful senior season without incident until the end. As I mentioned, it is signing day, and there is a lot going on. Guys are coming in hot and heavy. I guess the fax machine is still rolling over there at UK. I don't really know if they still use that or not. But the other story I did want to mention that is on the Bud Light Leach Report page is the fact that John Hale had a nice story about a running back that is just signed with Kentucky, actually. So now he is no longer a commit. He is a signee. Travis Tisdale. He's a four-star guy. And John Hale had some interesting parallels. He's out of Georgia, and Tisdale kind of spurned by the local school, a la Benny Snell. And Tisdale had some great quotes in that piece about what it means, you know, for him going forward and why he wants to show out for Kentucky and kind of prove that he belongs in the SEC. A couple other names that people, I think, were curious about on this signing day. Kevon Butler signed despite getting some late interest from Ohio State, and Michigan State really putting on the press hot and heavy. He is a three-star defensive lineman from Toledo, Ohio, but his signature came in, so he is officially going to be a Wildcat. Moses Douglas also signed. That is Maurice's son. You probably remember that name. Maurice played defensive back for Kentucky and then had a long pro career. And then a name that had gotten a lot of buzz because of his play on the field. And then, I guess you could categorize it as a little bit of drama off it. J.J. Weaver signed with Kentucky today after saying he might wait and sign off in the second signing period. And then he took the visit to Louisville, which kind of, you know, confused a lot of people. Maybe had them worrying a little bit because you never want a commit to visit another school. As I said, you can see links to all these stories on the Bud Light Leach Report page at Tom Leach KY. Also, who signed today? There's a lot of them. They're coming in as we're rolling here. Jared Casey, the defensive end from Louisville. He also is officially on board, and UK signed two quarterbacks today, Nick Scalzo and Amani Gilmore. Amani Gilmore is interesting to me because Derek Terry at the Catsballs had a piece a couple days ago, and Gilmore says he wants to play baseball at UK. So that would be really, really interesting to see. And, I mean, it would be a tough scenario for a quarterback to play baseball and learn the whole offense. But he's apparently going to try it, and what he's got going for him is he's a left-handed pitcher. And if you follow any kind of baseball, you obviously know how valuable left-handed pitching is. All right, we're going to get to our first break. Coming up next, we are going to be talking to Chris Fisher. We're going to go a little bit more in depth on this signing day for football. And then I'm going to ask him about the Penny Hardaway comments. Many of you probably saw those. Penny Hardaway, not a fan of Rick Barnes. I'm Curtis Burch. If you want to interact with the show, you can tweet me at Curtis Burch, B-U-R-C-H, or call in toll-free 877-904-1080. This is the Leach Report.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Tweet us at Leach Report or email leachreport at gmail.com.
Welcome back into the Leach Report, which is served up by Wild Eggs. I'm Curtis Burch sitting in for Tom as he is doing some UK football signing day recruiting coverage on ukathletics.com. And right now, speaking of recruiting, we are joined by Chris Fisher, who works the recruiting beat for 247 Sports and the Catspaws. Chris, how are you doing today?
I'm good. What's up, Curtis?
Busy day, man. Lots of things are going on. I was a little distracted in the first segment because all these names keep scrolling up, and UK tweets out, hey, we got this guy. We got this four-star. We got this four-star guy. We got this guy who you thought might go to Michigan State, and now he's going to be coming to Kentucky and playing some defensive line. So just overall, Chris, what are your kind of thoughts about Mark Stoops in this signing class specifically?
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about signing day, it really is like Christmas Day. And up until, you know, last year, you had to wait until February to kind of open all those presents. But it's kind of like Christmas came early this year for Kentucky. And I think a really solid, really balanced class overall for Mark Stoops. It's ranked 31st nationally in the 24/7 Sports Composite team rankings, but I think what jumps out to me the most is the work that Kentucky was able to do in the city of Louisville. Obviously, U of L didn't have quite the season that many expected them to, and kind of dropped the ball with some of those big-time prospects in the city of Louisville, and Kentucky was able to pick it up and run with it. I mean, Jared Casey, J.J. Weaver, Shaunkel Knight-Goff, and even DeMonte Crooms from Butler. All four of those guys, I think, are really, really good players, especially when you look at Weaver and Jerry Casey, what they'll be able to do at that linebacker position with, you know, guys like Josh Allen and Jordan Jones leading off of this season. And so I definitely think those two guys will play a big part and have a huge impact in Kentucky football over the course of their college careers.
Chris Fisher is joining us on the Kentucky Branded Hotline, and I did enjoy Brad White, UK's outside linebacker, defensive end coach, tweeting out about those two guys you just mentioned specifically, and he said about Weaver, get on your feet, another local stud that loves to get after the quarterback, special things ahead, welcome to the family, and then he tags J.J. Weaver. And then my question, how much impact can these young guys have early? Obviously, you're losing Bud Dupree, and it's tough to, well, I'll just say it's impossible for a freshman to replace what Josh Allen did. I'm already projecting Josh Allen into the NFL. I just hope he isn't a Steelers because I don't like them, Chris. But anyway, can those guys like get some time on the field early?
You know, it's hard to say. Football recruiting is so much different than basketball, where you know you can recruit a five-star kid and plug him in and play him right away. When you're playing against grown men in college football, that typically doesn't work out very well. And you look at, you know, the guys that helped turn Kentucky football around, the Josh Allens, the Darius West, the Jordan Jones, it took a while for those guys to really start making a huge impact. Obviously, Josh Allen had a really great career prior to this season, but it was this year as a senior that his game really, really took a huge leap, and obviously he really took off and, you know, won the Bednarik, won the Nagurski, won the Lott Impact Trophy, and on and on and on. And so you have to have patience with a lot of these guys. It's easy to get caught up in the recruiting rankings and the, you know, the four stars and the five stars and those types of things, but you have to be a lot more patient on the football side of things and realize that it just takes time with a lot of these guys. But in recruiting, once you start building these classes one on top of another, and I think you saw that with Kentucky football this season, when you get the blend of the talent and the experience, I think that's when it really starts to pay off for you on the field.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the staff has shown that they can develop these rushers. And I mentioned by accident Bud Dupree, Za'Darius Smith, and now you're throwing in Josh Allen. These are top-level guys, and they're just so good. And Josh Allen spoke to the media a little bit yesterday, and he was asked about all the trophies, and he kind of made a joke that they're a little bit heavier than he anticipated, and he doesn't really want to put them up on a shelf because he's afraid the shelf might break. So right now he's just kind of, as he said, he's going to just pile them up in his living room, and I can just kind of imagine in a college, you know, because that's what Josh Allen still is, apartment, just this a mass of giant awards that he has had this season, because he is just truly such a special talent, isn't he, Chris?
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know if he's keeping those at his house or they're going to keep those at the Kentucky football facility, but they're definitely going to need to build a bigger trophy case after the season that he had at Kentucky. And Josh Allen is another great story, and Benny Snell as well. You know, Josh Allen was a two-star kid. Everybody knows that when he was coming out of high school and was committed to Monmouth and took a late official visit to Kentucky and you know, was viewed as just kind of like a meaningless late throw-in, you know, to that 2015 class. And, you know, maybe he'll develop into a reliable backup as a senior. And so to see what he was able to do, and, I mean, he was one of those guys that really stepped foot and contributed right away as a freshman. But to see what, you know, he was able to do, Benny Snell, I think, was barely a top 50 running back coming out of high school. So it's not all about the recruiting rankings and the stars and those types of things. With football, you have so many kids that can, you know, kind of fall through the cracks on you. And recruiting is an inexact science as it is, but when you're dealing with so many kids, it's easy for some guys to kind of fall through the cracks. And Kentucky certainly benefited from more than a couple of those guys.
Chris Fisher is joining us right now. You can follow him on Twitter. We'll give you his handle right after this break, because coming up next, I want to ask Chris about Penny Hardaway's comments that are just stealing all the headlines. And then I have headlines, and then I have a question about Khalil Whitney. I'm Curtis Bird, sitting in for Tom Leach today. We'll have more with Chris Fisher coming up after this. You are listening to The Leach Report.
This is The Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can follow Tom on Twitter. It's at Tom Leach KY.
Welcome back into The Leach Report, which is served up every day by Wild Eggs. And joining us on the Kentucky-branded hotline is the one and only Chris Fisher. And Chris, the basketball news of the day that was just sweeping the country yesterday was Penny Hardaway going off on Rick Barnes. Two questions for you. One, are you enjoying that Penny Hardaway is stirring things up? But two, if you had to make a list of college basketball coaches that someone would call out, how far down on that list would Rick Barnes be?
To answer your second question first, I definitely think Rick Barnes is generally viewed as one of the more respected, you know, coaches in the country. I know he and Cal have been really, really close for a long time. So it did surprise me that he kind of targeted Rick Barnes. But I think if you're Penny Hardaway, until you get guys like James Wiseman and DJ Jeffries and, you know, whoever else they land in 2019, until you get those guys on the court, you're going to have to rely more so on hype to kind of sell your program. And it just kind of felt like Penny Hardaway attacking Rick Barnes for his comments kind of felt like an attempt at generating attention and kind of generating some type of animosity to get that, you know, Memphis-Tennessee rivalry rolling again. And like I said, until they, you know, they're going to lose some games, they're going to take some lumps this season, and so until they can get those five-star guys in next season, I think he's going to do everything he can to keep as many eyes as he can on his program.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing that kind of, when you listen to it, and as we were joking about, you know, Rick Barnes being so well respected, and if you're going to call out a guy, it would be one of the last you would think of. That's why it almost felt a little bit more, you know, contrived than an off-the-cuff comment, that he just wanted these headlines, and he knew the power of his name, obviously being a former NBA star, and, you know, calling out another coach the way he did, which rarely happens, was just a perfect storm that was going to get him a lot of media attention. And that's what he wants right now, and I completely understand it. But I don't know. It just seems when you're calling out Tennessee, they kind of do things a little bit differently the way Rick Barnes has built Tennessee comparatively to how Penny Hardaway is trying to build Memphis, you know, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, and you have to understand, too, you know, Penny Hardaway is fairly new at this whole head coach thing, and he comes from, you know, the NBA world where, you know, if you follow NBA Twitter on a nightly basis, there's some type of ongoing drama night in and night out. This guy said this, that guy said that, and so, you know, they typically don't really hold back on saying how they really feel in the NBA, and, you know, maybe Penny just kind of let that get the best of him, had a momentary lapse. But yeah, either way, it doesn't make a ton of sense to not only to go after a respected coach like Rick Barnes, but just over the, you know, the flopping comments just didn't really add up to me.
Yeah. Just a couple minutes left with Chris Fisher, but I did want to ask Chris about Khalil Whitney, who seems to be doing some really great things, winning a couple of tournaments and those kind of things. He almost feels like, and this is going to sound silly, but he's a little bit under the radar, and people are freaking out about Kentucky's recruiting, and I understand why, losing Wiseman and such, but they got a dude, as some coaches would say. That guy appears to be a fierce competitor.
Yeah, absolutely, and I get some of the fan consternation over, you know, missing on a couple guys, but Kentucky's still the only program in the country with two top 10 commitments for 2019, Khalil Whitney being one of those, and he's a guy that really started to blow up over the summer and really started to match his skill set with his physical tools. And at 6'6", 190 pounds, probably one of the most athletic players in the 2019 class, can do a lot of different things and really is in more of a true wing type of player than the ones that John Calipari has brought in. He's, you know, kind of brought in guys that are more combo forwards masquerading as kind of wing guys, but Khalil Whitney is a true wing, has a absolute ton of upside, hit the, you know, the tipped in the game winner in front of John Calipari and Tony Barbee in Brooklyn the other night. And he's one of those guys that, as good as he is now, his best basketball is still ahead of him, and wouldn't surprise me at all to see him you know, projected in the top 10 of the 2020 draft down the line.
You can follow Chris on Twitter at ChrisFisher247, and where can everybody read your work?
Catspaws.com on the 24/7 Sports Network.
Thank you so much for joining us, Chris.
All right, Curtis, take it easy.
One other quick note recruiting-wise, I saw yesterday that Joel Justice and John Calipari were at a Matthew Hurt game, taking in the five-star forward from up in Minnesota. So as Chris was just talking about, if you're worried a little bit about recruiting, don't panic too much, because Coach Calipari is still out there trying to get some more guys for next season. I am Curtis Birch. And for Tom Leach today, you can follow me on Twitter at Curtis Birch, B-U-R-C-H. You can hear me weeknights in Lexington on Big Blue Insider with Dick Gabriel. And I have a daily podcast with Kyle Tucker of The Athletic that is called Locked On Kentucky. So just search that on your favorite podcast player. We'll be right back with more of the Leach Report in just a bit.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Coming up next, it's Kentucky Sports Radio with Matt Jones.
Welcome back into the Leach Report, which is served up by Wild Eggs. I am Curtis Birch in for Tom today, as he is doing some signing day spectacular coverage on UK Athletics. Kentucky football, of course, is signing a bunch of guys in their early signing period that will be on the football field next year for UK. Right now, we are going to jump to the Kentucky branded hotline and bring in the one and only Oscar Combs, founder of the Catspaws and now host of Conversations with Oscar Combs, a podcast that he does with UK legends, and gets great insight into the history of UK athletics. Oscar, how are you doing today, bud?
I'm doing fine, Curtis. Good to be with you.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We're going to talk a bunch of stuff, but I did one at the start. I want to kind of get your perspective on two things. One, this season as a whole for UK football, and then I'll follow up with a player I wanted to ask you about. But I mean, can you put into context how impressive this season has been in the history of Kentucky football?
Well, it's come from the perfect storm with one little array that sort of takes a little bit away from it. But everything that needed to happened for the good of Kentucky, other than losing to Tennessee, which for a couple weeks it was really a sore in the side. But to be able to go 5-3 in the league, and that was the most impressive thing throughout the season, is to win those five games they did. And then the fact that the SEC sent 11 teams to postseason bowl, and of the three teams that didn't go to bowl, Kentucky only played one of them. So all of their five wins came against quality bowl-attending schools. And I thought to be able to acquire that now, I will put the little asterisk down there that, you know, they didn't do it with a 12-game season, not 11-game season or a 10-game season like some of the older teams had to do because they didn't play that many games. But to be able to come out and get that thing off their back at Florida, that was so huge. And then I think their second-best game or second-best win this year was beating Mississippi State. I mean, they're a solid, solid program right now. And then when you get down, you had that one opportunity that you may never have again to win one game and go to the championship. But Georgia's one of the best four teams in the country. I don't care who's in the playoffs. They're one of the best four. Losing to Tennessee was a heartbreaker. But when it's all said and done, and you're talking about the signings this morning that are rolling and everything, going down and beating Louisville by the way they did, and I know Louisville's down and was terrible this year, but that brought a lot of spark back to the program, and it sounds like they're having a very good day this morning.
Yeah, they definitely are, and keeping kids in state is very, very vital. You know, there had been some talk about Kentucky struggling that in recent years, and I mean, to be frank, they had lost a lot of guys to out-of-state schools, and some have gone to Louisville, but this year they seem to be doing a much better job of keeping the talent in state, and on top of that, getting into the city of Louisville is obviously so important because it's such a population hub and has a bunch of talent in sports in that area.
It's important with Louisville changing their head coaches this year that they keep plugging and keep drawing a lot of solid favoritism from the Louisville high schools. We've all known we've beaten it to death. I mean Louisville fans more than anybody else on the former coaches down there that didn't give a lot of attention to the local high school coaches down there. And you hear all that kind of thing when coaching regimes change hand. But Kentucky must control Louisville if they want to compete like they did this year in the SEC.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. Now, the individual player I wanted to ask you about, and this probably isn't a surprise, but Josh Allen, I mean, racking up all these awards and the individual awards he's winning is just, I mean, and I've asked this to Dick Gabriel, and he didn't have the perfect answer because now there are currently more awards than there used to be, but is he going to be the most decorated UK football player in the history of the program?
That's a good question, and you had part of the ingredients you got answered there because there are so many more awards. Like, you know, back when Art Steele won, was probably the greatest defensive player of the era until Josh Allen comes along, and I'm not sure I'm ready to put one 1A and the other 1B, but if he has a career in the NFL that Art Steele had, he'll be happy too. What he has done in 4 years, I mean, it's the perfect Cinderella story. Two-star that was going to go to Bama, ends up at Kentucky, and then all of a sudden, you know, when he was battling the decision last year whether to come back for a fourth year or not, I know the coaches, I know some of the fans said, boy, it'd really be good, but I really don't think anybody had any idea that he would have this big a season this year. And once the ball started rolling, that is again as a result. If Kentucky was 7-5 this year, if they were 4-4 or 3-5 in the SEC, he probably wouldn't have these honors because, as you well know, they look at a kid that's having a good year, and then they look at how his team is doing.
Yeah.
And there's no question that the defense carried this team this year, and he was the leader of the defense.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. We're going to get to a quick break here, but coming up after it, we're going to talk to Oscar about some basketball. There are some valid concerns about seeding, even though the NCAA tournament is a little bit off. And I'm going to let him tell you guys about his podcast, Conversations with Oscar Combs. You can follow him on Twitter at Wildcat News. We'll be right back with more of the Leach Report after this.
You're tuned to Talk Radio 1080 and The Leach Report. And visit TomLeachKY.com for more news and views on the Cats.
Welcome back into The Leach Report. I'm Curtis Birch, sitting in today for Tom. And The Leach Report is served up every day by Wild Eggs. We are joined on the Kentucky-branded hotline for another segment, gracious with his time, Oscar Combs. And Oscar, you know, basketball obviously is always a big deal in the bluegrass. I think you followed it long enough. Kentucky's got a big one this weekend against UNC. And after that, Louisville. And then they got Kansas down the road, where that Big 12 challenge is now in the middle of conference play. But those are their last three opportunities to get a good out-of-conference win. And they're all going to be uphill battles to a certain extent.
You're right, Curtis. A couple things that's even more important than just a win. There is a lot of people like to say early on, well, losses in November and December don't hurt you. That's not exactly true. And the reason is seldom can you go a long run in the tournament if you're an underdog in any of your first two games and actually even a third game. And so you've got two losses right now. Their next three games against North Carolina, Louisville, and Alabama on the road. Kentucky has to win at least two of those three, or they're going to get a terrible seed come March. If you lose five games non-conference, and it could be six, as you mentioned, Kansas down the line, how many do you think you're going to lose in a tough SEC this year? And you get into March Madness with nine or ten losses, you're looking at a seven or eight seed, six at the very least. So yeah. Kentucky really needs to get one of these two. They actually need both. And the reason why I say that is if Kentucky were to get beat by North Carolina and then Louisville, and then 3 days later they go on the road to Tuscaloosa, a place that Kentucky historically has not performed very well over the last 40 years. They go down there having lost three of their last four, going back to the Seton Hall game. There's no telling what frame of mind those players will be in. So it's a big key, and it's a uphill battle because I kind of think, Curtis, that the Vegas boys will have Kentucky as an underdog in at least each of the next two.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I mean, you know, and you talked about the college football playoff rankings a little bit earlier and thinking Georgia should probably be in the top four, and one of the factors they use is team common opponents. And when you look at common opponents from Kentucky and Louisville, Seton Hall, Louisville went to Seton Hall and won, and Kentucky lost on it's a neutral site, but it was obviously closer to Seton Hall's campus. But, you know, that kind of shows what's going on. And it's tough to pinpoint exactly.
Kentucky went into that game as a 5-point favorite, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's tough to pinpoint exactly what's going on. And that now the transfer of Quade Green obviously throws another kind of wrench in things, and another thing John Calipari has to figure out. But, I mean, that's why he is the head coach of Kentucky, and that's why he gets paid those millions of dollars to figure those things out, Oscar. But before I let you go today, I did want to ask you about your podcast. I saw we were talking about some football legends earlier, and you had one on your podcast recently, right?
Well, actually, we're in the midst of a three-week run on it. I did Derek Ramsey, who probably is, he was the leader, and he was the reason why they had the two greatest seasons since the early 50s in 76 and 77. But the interesting thing about this three-part podcast, and we're into the part two of it this week, part one last week, part three next week, leading up to the Citrus Bowl, was his greatest challenge was how he was recruited by Michigan and Penn State, among others, and how he ended up at Kentucky. And he was actually going, he and Art Steele had decided early in high school that they wanted a package deal. And he addresses some rumors in about that too. But they were first going to Michigan and things fell apart. Then they were going to Penn State. And Joe Paterno told him, son, we like you, we're here, but you're not good enough to play quarterback at Penn State. And he said, with that, I just X'd them out. So they ended up at Kentucky. And just so happens, the freshman year at Kentucky, Kentucky starts a four-game home-and-home series with Penn State. And he wins two of them. He wins the second, third games. And at the end of each game, he went to midfield to shake Joe Pa's hand and said, do you think I can still play quarterback or not? So it's a real interesting podcast. It's during the Fran Kurs era, during the ups and downs. And it's so ironic that they're playing Penn State in the Citrus Bowl. And people listen to it. A lot of good stuff about Kentucky football and what he thinks about the program today and going forward.
Yeah, and he's obviously works now in the Kentucky government, and he's just such a great guy to talk to, and so insightful, and you know, probably one of the best leaders to ever come through UK athletics.
I don't think there's any question about it. And some of the stories he tells you, and he says that he and Art both had never set foot in the state of Kentucky before they actually came to school in the fall.
Wow.
Or in the summer. They did not make an official visit here. It was all done very late. Great, interesting recruiting story. People don't want to know the real background of it. You can Google it. And it's probably the most fascinating football recruiting story that I've ever heard at Kentucky.
And how can people find the podcast?
Well, it's pretty easy. You're an expert on these podcasts, Curtis, so you can help out. The easy way is go to OscarCrumbs.com and click on the podcast link, and then you can always go to iTunes and search Wildcat News.
There you go. Yeah, you definitely go and check that out, because Derek Ramsey, obviously a legend, and Oscar Combs is a legend. Oscar, thank you so much for joining us on the show today, man.
My pleasure, Curtis. Anytime. You have a great day.
You too. And you can follow him on Twitter. As I said, he is a prolific tweeter at Wildcat News. Coming up next, we will wrap up this edition of the show. You are listening to The Leach Report. Welcome back into The Leach Report. I'm Curtis Birch in today. And now we're joined by the host of the show, Tom Leach. As I mentioned at the top, was over at UK doing some signing day coverage for UK athletics. Tom, how was the mood over there with the coaches?
No surprises. The one thing you don't want on recruiting day is unpleasant surprises. Yeah. So I don't think there's any of those. There's maybe three guys that are expected to sign that haven't yet, but I don't think they expect any drama there. One of them's an in-state kid, Sean Kalanick-Goff, from over in Louisville, and I think he's got an event at which he's going to sign later today. So they knew it, not to expect his letter this morning. So everybody was very, very upbeat. I think it's looks like a solid group. I mean, guys, like I was working with Dusty at my station on the show, mm-hmm. and then Freddie was there, and those guys look at a lot of tape, and they know a lot more about what they're looking at than I do. So when they're impressed, I'm impressed.
Stood out to those guys when they were breaking down some tape?
I know Dusty was really high on the running back from down in his area, Valdosta, Lowndes High School in Valdosta, Georgia. Actually, Travis Tisdale, Travis's team knocked Dusty's team out of the playoffs this year, Dusty's old high school. And Dusty said, made this comparison, and Vince Mero, when he was on the set with us, agreed with it, that Tisdale reminds them of Boom Williams.
Wow.
He said he's 5'9", 175, but that great explosive speed that Boom had, can catch the ball out of the backfield. So this was a guy that just visited last weekend and was a great pickup, four-star recruit for Kentucky out of Valdosta. Tay-Tay Crooms out of Louisville Butler High School, wide receiver. I think it was Eddie Graham, the offensive coordinator, who compared Tay-Tay to Jeff Bidette. And if that turns out, that would be great, because Bidette was the guy they really haven't replaced in the last 2 years to take the top off the defense. So that was exciting to hear. Just a couple of other interesting notes. Moses Douglas, of course, his dad, Maurice, played here. Moses, out of Springfield, Ohio, I think Dick Gabriel mentioned this on our show, had 31 Division I offers, made one visit to Kentucky. So everybody wanted him, but he was set on Kentucky from the beginning. And then I think the one that a lot of people, there was some uncertainty about in recent weeks, was Kayvon Butler, defensive tackle from Toledo, and thought he might flip to Ohio State, and they got him signed today, and that was nice to hear.
Well, and I'm sure this has probably already run through your mind, but when he makes his first sack, you can just say the Butler did it, right?
There you go. That's right. I like that. I have to use that one. You know, it looks like they've you know, signed a lot of DBs, but that's not surprising because they're losing so much in the secondary. One of them's a JUCO guy, Brandon Echols, so you would think he'd have a shot to contend for playing time. Another JUCO guy, Javonte Richardson, is a wide receiver, and that's a position where somebody would have a, you know, once he signs, he hasn't signed yet, but that's a position where, you know, you'd have a chance to come in as a rookie, you would think, and compete for a job. There's one other one that I should have mentioned, and he is a defensive back, Taj Dodson, and it's just because Freddie Maggard was really high on this kid, said he's one of the fastest kids he's ever seen, and Freddie's got a resume tape for life with what he did on the signing day show back in, I guess it was 2015, touting Josh Allen, this two-star recruit that nobody had much to say about, and people scoffed, some of them did anyway, at Freddie, his gushing praise of Josh Allen, and turned out he knew what he was talking about.
Yeah, that one definitely worked out. So, finally, Tom, we just got about a minute, but what was the staff's mood about trying keeping some guys in state, doing a better job of kind of closing the borders of Kentucky this year?
Yeah, Vince talked a little bit about that toward the end of our online show, and he said Coach Stoops made the decision to take some of his time, Mero's time, out of Ohio and invest it in Kentucky because there were so many SEC-caliber players in Kentucky, particularly in that Louisville area, and Kentucky made up a lot of ground thanks to that move, strategic move, to put Vince in there and really go after him. And so this is one of Kentucky's best years for getting some of the best talent in state, and I would think off what they did this season, that should only improve moving forward.
Well, Tom, thanks for letting me keep your chair warm this morning, and great job on the coverage there over at UK.
Yeah, it was a fun show. Appreciate you filling in, and I'll be back tomorrow with Mr. Pratt and Mr. Rowland, our regular Thursday guys, so we'll see everybody then.
That sounds great. Thanks to everybody for listening to the show. Thanks to Chris Fisher and Oscar Combs for joining the program today. As I mentioned, you can follow me on Twitter at Curtis Birch. You can hear me weeknights locally in Lexington on the Big Blue Insider with Dick Gabriel, and I do that daily podcast, Locked On Kentucky, with Kyle Tucker of The Athletic. Thanks so much for listening to The Leach Report.
Thanks for listening to The Leach Report. Make sure you check out the podcast page at TomLeachKY.com whenever you miss a show.